All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, June 2nd. I'm Doug Norrie, that is.
Doug Norrie.
And we are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Still time to get a free 3-day trial to the projection system that's going to give you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, powered by our very, very good friends over at Lineup Lab. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month. After that, you're all covered. Go check it out, buddy. We have a full Friday of baseball. This is, by the way, your name is James Davis.
We're not both.
we're not both named Doug Norrie. It'd
be a lot cooler if we were, though.
Would that it could be true, but it isn't. Full Friday in baseball, coming off a pretty slow Thursday. Really, it was actually one of the fewest games I think we've seen all season. But tonight, every team playing, except for the Cubs game, that's going to start at 2:20 because those guys are stuck in their early turn of the century and still play all their games during the day. But every other team starting at 7 o'clock and on. Let's start with the pitchers tonight. I mean, Kershaw's going tonight. Anytime, I mean, I hate to say this every time, and I guess if we're going to do an entire season's worth of baseball podcasts, we're
Big boy.
Yeah, we're going to get somewhat repetitive, right? But luckily, because we don't podcast every single day, we were staggered just enough to not maybe talk about it every time.
We don't have to once a week have our whole pitching section be, well, you should play Kershaw. And
or just like every 5 days, right? He goes tonight against Milwaukee. They're still without Ryan Braun. They strike out a ton. He's coming off. Two games ago, he was really, really good. And then last game, he kind of got rocked by the Cubs. Do you see him as just basically an auto play for cash? There are some other good arms going today, so I'm not sure if it's totally crystal clear, but is he pretty much, if you had a lock in cash game lineups right now, would he be the guy?
Yeah, it's pretty easy, I think. He's not expensive at all for his ability. 12-4 is, you know, on the lower end, actually, of what we've paid for him this season, and it's a good matchup. You know, the Brewers can hit left-handed pitching, but with Braun out of the lineup, that obviously changes a bit. And the other thing is they've just struck out a ton against lefties, third in the majors in strikeout percentage against left-handed pitching. Again, doesn't help their case when Braun's out of the lineup. So, yeah, I'm very enthusiastic about playing him in cash tonight.
They did move Jonathan Villar, down the order in favor of Eric Sogard. Sogard actually doesn't strike out as much. I'm just probably not going to make a huge, huge difference, but they did move a bigger K guy down a little bit in favor of a guy who isn't very good but doesn't strike out as much.
You can get Sogard for $1,500 if you want to play him, Doug. So.
Well, we can talk about that when we get the bats, but they do this weird thing, and they only do it with Kershaw. Whenever Kershaw pitches, they just make these guys, like, they don't do it with Sale. Like, Sale's just as good this year. I don't really understand, like, what the exact thought process here, except that it's Kershaw. I mean, it's basically the Kershaw and Coors effect on some of these, on the FanDuel pricing, and it's just like, that's just the way we talked about this before, but they just write it into their algorithm that just these two guys, like, it's these two weird constraints, and that's it. Well, not two guys, but one guy and one park, and yeah, like all those Brewers, like $1,500, $1,700. Very silly. Anyway, I think Kershaw, you know, he's the biggest money line guy on the day, kind of by far. I think he's minus 220 right now. We started 220 down to 215. Still, I think no other pitcher is over the minus 200 mark for him. Implied runs on the Milwaukee side, a little less than three. I think you see him as pretty much chalk. I mean, 13,000 on DraftKings, I don't think it doesn't seem like totally unreasonable, right? Like the 13,000, no, it's expensive, but yeah, no, I don't know. So I mean, you don't see it as he's not too expensive there, right?
No, I think he's absolutely in play, and you know, we point this out frequently on bigger slates, but you're going to get some cheap value at other positions today, and that's going to loosen things up for Kershaw as the day goes along. So even if you're checking your favorite lineup optimizer, aka ours, and Kershaw isn't in the lineup at this time of day, that doesn't mean he won't show up there later in the day. And actually, as of now, he's already in there, so he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, short of the line dropping a ton, which is not going to, and really that's the only thing that would kick him out of lineups now. So I think we can pretty much say he's unlocked. So I think we're going with him for cash games, probably almost by himself exclusively, I would say. But after him, where else can we look for pitching? There are some other good arms going.
Yeah, I think other people, I don't know what people are going to do for cash game purposes. For big tournaments, I do think there are a couple of interesting options here. One of them is Steven Strasburg. You know, he got off to a rocky start in the beginning of this season, but it's interesting. We were talking about this earlier. Won a huge start in his last time out, and all of a sudden, you just look at his season-long line, and you're like, oh yeah, that's just Strasburg. You know, like you just had to get to the 10th start for him to normalize out at a 10K per nine guy. The walks are now lower per nine than they were last season. He's still not giving up any home runs. He's actually generating more ground balls this year than last year too, which, you know, could help with that home run rate, which, not that it's hurt him in the past, but as compared to some other elite pitchers, one home run per nine, given the rest of his peripherals, was a little bit out of what you would expect. Yeah, but Kershaw's amazing, or Strasburg is great, and tonight, I mean, I probably take Kershaw's matchup over his, but playing in Oakland is still a nice place to pitch. It's a nice big ballpark with a lot of foul territory, so I think it's a good spot to grab Strasburg on the upside, figuring that most people who pay up are just going to talk themselves into Kershaw.
Yeah, the big change that Strasburg made this year, obviously pitching exclusively out of the stretch is one, so that was something we've talked about a few times this year, just when he's kind of come up on the podcast. The other kind of changes he's made, he's really not throwing a slider anymore. He threw it a lot last year, threw 17% of the time last year, only 7% this year, and actually upped his changeup a lot. So it's mostly, he's really now just fastball, curveball, changeup, and that's really all he's throwing. And his last two games, so yeah, we were a little bit concerned on strikeout rates to start the year, and I had actually even written about it that I was worried that the changes he's made were not going to produce the strikeouts that that was kind of followed along his career arc. But yeah, 26 strikeouts in his last four innings, and that's pretty much, that conversation's over. So like 15 strikeouts last game in seven, and then 11 and 7.2 or seven, well, 7 2/3 the time before. So yeah, I think he's back. I'm with you. I wouldn't play him over Kershaw at this point, but he's a totally acceptable pivot, especially for tournaments, if you wanted to get away from Kershaw, who will likely be chalk.
The A's too, by the way, they do strike out a lot. I mentioned the Brewers. The A's are third in the majors in striking out in terms of right-handed pitchers. So yeah, there's a lot to like about that Strasburg.
Well, that makes sense too. They really don't have much in the way of any lefties. I mean, they'll hit Joyce at the top of the lineup at times, and I guess like Yonder Alonso might be a switch hitter. But after that, I mean, pretty much the rest of their lineup is just right. I have Stephen Vogt. Most of them are just righties, and they really just don't have much power to begin with after Chris Davis. So they're just kind of a blah team. They're just like the one of the most unexciting teams probably in the majors in terms of like just star power and just to watch or just kind of whatever as a team. So yeah, no problem. Absolutely no problem pivoting to Strasburg, especially on K upside. If you want to get away from Kershaw, seems I could see him actually being more heavily owned because people will want to pivot off Kershaw because they'll see him as chalk, if that makes sense. After those two guys, well, there's a couple other, I would say the other ace level-ish guys going today are Darvish and Keuchel. They actually face each other. Do you think when you got two guys like this face each other, I mean, Houston's just a good hitting team in general, but when they face each other, they kind of just cancel each other out, considering that you're really the win expectation is greatly diminished because you just have another good pitcher on the mound kind of across from you.
Yeah, I mean, I think they cancels out probably for cash game purposes typically, just because the margins are already so thin on who you're picking. So, you know, given that both pitchers are going to be priced as though they're often the favorite to win the games they pitch, and in this game they're going to be at the very least less of a favorite than normal, and that does make a difference. You know, you still get a lot of points for the win on both DraftKings and FanDuel. The difference on GPPs, of course, is that it doesn't matter really what the line is from my perspective for GPPs. So the reason I say this, and this is another horse that I've beaten before, but it's just, I love to beat the same horse over and over.
Man loves to beat horses.
Yeah, especially one you've already beaten before. They're just like sitting there, whatever. but somebody is going to get the win in this game and somebody's not, right? And so the fact that they're more like 50-50 to get the win here as opposed to 60-40 than usual doesn't actually change my equations when it comes to making big tournament lineups. I'm looking a lot more closely at just like kind of the raw upside. The problem for this game is that I just don't really think either pitcher has great upside, you know. Both of them are up against teams that can hit, their handedness. You mentioned the Astros. They're just a good hitting team. Like, that's simply a bad matchup. So I think you can just kind of disregard Darvish out of hand for that. And then the Rangers, you know, they actually have been quite poor against left-handed pitching this season. So maybe you like Keuchel a little bit there. But yeah, no, I take it back. Yeah, I'm sorry. I misremembered the Rangers stats. The Rangers actually are quite lousy against lefties, so maybe Keuchel is an upside play for you, but you know, he's not the kind of the quintessential strikeout guy you'd like on a $10,000 salary. He generates most of his value via the ground ball. Just doing it again this year, 68% ground ball rate is completely absurd. But yeah, I can't consider Darvish, but maybe Keuchel for big tourneys.
I kind of didn't realize either that the Rangers have been this bad against
lefties. I didn't either. Yeah, I just was picturing them as being the team from the past, but I guess they're not.
Oh, yeah, so they're fourth fourth worst in strikeouts or fourth most strikeouts in the league. Keuchel, the thing you get on Keuchel is innings, right? Like, he doesn't strike out a lot of guys, but this guy just goes seven innings. He's averaging seven innings a game this year, which is has got to be one of the highest in the majors for any starting pitcher, like, outside of maybe like even like just like Sale, or I don't even think Kershaw is going that many innings per game. Like, it's really tough to average for, you know, 10 or 12 games, seven innings per game. It's just because you just get hit around a game, and that's just like kind of all you need to kind of lower yourself into the 6.5, which is still pretty elite territory when you can go that many innings. So Keuchel generating all those ground balls, being able to get double plays and get out of innings a little bit more than your average pitcher when he gets someone on, does help. And the K is actually ticking up a little bit this year. I'm kind of talking myself into him on
from a Twitter
perspective.
The ground balls, I think that's a great point about going deep into games, because Keuchel at this point, the second highest ground ball rate for his career of any starting pitcher since they've measured ground ball rates, right? So he's generating ground balls. He's just almost like a totally unique pitcher in that the only guy above him was Brandon Webb, who's right-handed. Keuchel being a lefty, generating those ground balls. He's also just going to bury guys like Rougned Odor that just can't hit left-handed pitching too. So yeah, there's actually a lot to like here. I also think that people will just be off it, kind of like our initial impression was, just based on the Rangers' reputation. Now, there's a problem. You know, pitching in Texas is not a great situation for anybody, but the fact that he doesn't really let the ball up in the air really mitigates that risk as well. So, yeah, I'm in. Keuchel train, baby. Big tournaments. Let's do it.
The only thing about him is the price, because he does go long into every game, basically, like he's been priced pretty fairly. Like he's not one of these guys that will vacillate because he'll just get yanked after five, like a Darvish kind of type, where he can go 5 1/3 because he just walked a couple guys and run some pitch counts up pretty high. And now all of a sudden, like, he can go longer in games too when he has it all rolling. But Keuchel, that doesn't really happen to him. He just goes seven innings on lock, and therefore his price jumps and stays into that 10 range on FanDuel. So you're not necessarily getting a discount on him. But no, I think all of our long way around the block here on Keuchel has ended me on wanting to probably play him in some tournaments. After him, the other guys that the system really likes, Michael Pineda, likes him against the Toronto. I'm not totally buying it. This Toronto team, I know there are a lot of right-handed bats, but they're completely healthy now with Donaldson and Tulowitzki back in the lineup. Martin didn't catch last night, so I'm going to assume he's going to catch tonight. And, I mean, this isn't very bullish on Pineda because of the price. It's $8,500, and he's got almost elite-level strikeouts this year. Can we trust that as like a starting pitcher too on DraftKings, or just too risky with the matchup?
Yeah, that's close. I mean, really the question on DraftKings is going to be, who do you trust for starting pitcher two if you decide to roll with Kershaw? Things get a little bit less uncomfortable if you just play Strasburg, but it's really not that big a difference. Like, going from 13-1 down to 12 frees up a dollar or two, but it's nothing lineup changing really from my perspective. I'm uncomfortable with Pineda. I think you're also just kind of paying a lot for a guy that's in a matchup that I guess looked better earlier this season than to me it does now. I will say about the Blue Jays, you know, a lot of their most impactful bats are right-handed, so that helps Pineda a little bit. But man, bad park, team that's kind of on the upswing. I'm feeling uneasy here.
The thing with Pineda is he's just finally kind of putting it together here for a season, right? Like, he's always been, the last two seasons, he's run, however you want to classify it, you can classify it as run bad. You can also just say that he is never going to maybe perform to his XFIP because of the fly balls, and he's just going to allow just more home runs, especially in that park. So the last two seasons, he was 4.82 ERA with a 3.3 XFIP, so run and a half difference. The year before, it was 4.37 to 2.95. Again, a run and a half difference. Now this year, it's basically, it was 3.32 and 2.97. So it's a lot of numbers. And if you followed me all along here, right now he's pitching at a pretty elite level. 2.97 XFIP with a 10K per nine. And the big story is he's not really walking anyone like he was last year, like less than two walks per nine. Those are really close to just, I mean, ace level numbers, right? Like, and if you believe that that's the case, and he's just kind of an ace now, and he's finally put it all together and figured out whatever the bugaboos were kind of generating all those home runs for the last couple of years, or maybe he was just getting unlucky with some BABIP stuff. If you believe those numbers, then I think you can kind of risk him at 8,600 on DraftKings starting.
I mean, he was also like electric when he first came up, right? And then dealt with some injury stuff. He's not one of these guys that's kind of been like a journeyman. He's actually, to me, more in like the Francisco Liriano mold, where when he came up and was just positively unhittable, and then kind of went through a spell where he was pretty hittable. But if he's just fully healthy now, and he's not like, you know, back from the 2015 lost season there, if he's just to himself, I am I think he's dramatically underpriced compared to what he could round out to be by the end of the season. Like, his numbers are the same as Strasburg's, right? Like,
right. That's what I mean. But you don't think of him that way, though. Like, you wouldn't think of him the same level as Strasburg. But when you look at him side by side this season, at least you're right. That's a good comparison. They are just kind of pitching. They have the same peripherals.
Pineda's better. Pineda's been a little better peripherally.
Who do you think won the Jesus Montero-Michael Pineda trade between the Yankees and
the Mariners? It's close, man. I mean, whenever you can lock in a middle-of-the-order bat at a premium defensive position, that's really good. Unfortunately, Seattle got Montero, so that it didn't work out that way.
I'm going to call it too soon to tell, all right? So, there's still time. A couple other starting pitcher, two guys. If we're just looking a little cheaper before we head over to the bats, I mean, you got guys like Rick Porcello's coming very cheap at 7,600. You get Gerrit Cole at 7,800 against the Mets. Neither of them are in very good matchups, but they're both pretty good pitchers. I mean, and then you get German Marquez, who wins the Who Faces the Padres lottery for tonight. And whenever that's the case, like, you kind of just have to start considering whoever the guy is against the Padres. Can we consider Marquez in this situation? Mostly because it's the Padres.
Yeah, the price is right. I mean, I don't mind Marquez. He's a guy that came up. I mean, he was somewhat effective in the Rockies system coming out. If you look at his game log, you'll unsurprisingly see that he's been blown up at Coors a couple times, and that's going to really color the line. Like, you know, you take out two of these games where he faced Washington and Arizona, two teams that absolutely brutalized right-handed pitching, and he happened to have to pitch against them in Coors, and he's all of a sudden looking pretty good. Like, I mean, if you draw out some of his three road starts, he went 8 Ks and 1 walk, no runs at Arizona, which is no easy feat. 6 Ks, 3 walks, 1 run against Philly, and then a not-so-great 3 K, just 1 run start against Minnesota. But yeah, it's going to be hard to tell who he is until he just gets a more robust body of work on the road. And as of now, I think it's a worthwhile gamble.
Yeah, yeah, and again, it's the Padres. This team is very, very bad. They have not really made any strides since last year. They got worse because they lost Manny Margot, who was probably their best hitter.
Well, you actually can't get a more dramatic park change, right, than going from at Coors to at SD. Like, those are two really, really, really different pitching environments.
Right. They're not last, but they're really darn close to last in the league in OPS against righties. They strike out the second most in the league. So I think for those reasons, you can start to take a hard look at them. The other guy that I could maybe make a case for here is Michael Fulmer. He's a money line favorite against the White Sox, who have struggled against righties this year. So he's coming in. He actually has one of the higher money lines in the day. He's -172 right now against the White Sox. White Sox are pretty bad against righties this year. They rank the sixth most strikeouts in the league, and they actually have the same OPS as the Padres. So OPS is a little wonky. So there's some noise in OPS for sure. But if you want to just look at, like, straight up what a team has done over the course of the season, there with the Padres in terms of just not really being able to hit righties at all. Fulmer is a guy, some strikeout. His numbers are very similar to Marquez, actually. Like, he strikes out around 7 per 9, doesn't really walk too many, under 2 per 9, decent xFIP. So I could see going in that direction, mostly if you're thinking about the win expectation and just knowing that the White Sox just are a pretty weak lineup. I mean, if you had to choose between Marquez or Fulmer, like, heads up, they're pretty much the same price. 8,000 for Fulmer, 7,200 for Marquez. Which guy would you choose?
Cool. Yeah, it's really close. I think I would lean in the direction of Marquez. That feels a little bit weird, maybe. I just think that I'm going to give the nod to him on park and matchup. That, to me, feels like it raises his floor beyond where Fulmer is. I'm also just pretty unimpressed by Fulmer's strikeout resume, too. Like, he's gone pretty deep into some games recently, but a lot of that's been on the back of just scattering hits. Like, you know, 8, 7, and 7 are great innings amounts, but 9 hits, 8 hits, 10 hits on just 4 Ks in each of those, like, I don't know. It kind of looks like a bubble waiting to burst on that ERA. So give me Marquez, not feeling great about it, but figuring that the park and the opponent will help battle him through 5 innings and make me feel like it's worth the price.
It's really funny today. There's just like this group of starting pitcher, two kind of guys that are all kind of the same, and they all have pretty good matchups. Like JC Ramirez, I probably don't have to list every single one of these guys, although I just...
But go ahead.
I don't have to, but I'm sure gonna. JC Ramirez just kind of has the same peripherals as other guys. Is in a decent spot against the Twins, who will strike out a pretty high rate, decent money line on him. So there's just this group of guys that all exist in, I would say, like 8,500 to 7,200, which is basically the range, or 6,900. So 7,000 to mid 8,000s all fit into this range where you can definitely use their salaries to pair with Kershaw and be able to get plenty of bats. Like once you go that cheap with your starting pitcher too, then you're fine kind of on the bats. Like you're not really taking a huge offensive dip in expectation. But I think the problem is going to be just choosing which one, right? Like, because they're all kind of, you can just make, I can make cases for like six or seven of these guys pretty easily. And I think that's going to be the thing people struggle with the most, at least on DraftKings tonight, is like which guy to ultimately go with. Some nights it's really clear and you just see epic chalk for the starting pitcher too because it's so obvious. I think tonight is just not going to be the case because there's just a lot of cases to be made for a lot of these different guys.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And I you know, a lot of the money will be spread around. That's going to introduce a little bit more variance into the situation on DraftKings for me tonight. And that actually makes me want to lean on higher floors a little bit more as well, because if there's going to be seven pitchers that all get 8% market share or whatever, I just like to be in the middle there. Like, I don't need to shoot for the moon, I don't feel like, because also a lot of the pitchers we've named there, Ramirez, Fulmer, Marquez, like none of these guys are striking fear into the hearts of their opponents either. So I would be prepared for somebody to not have such a great start. And yeah, I'm just going to try and middle out there.
All right, before we get to some of the offenses to take a look at tonight, hit us up with a sponsor.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about FantasyFactor.com. FantasyFactor.com is a daily fantasy sports site like you remember, salary games, nice contests where you can buy in and play against people that are not professional DFS players. That's really their big thing that they bring to the table, right? So you go to Fantasy Factor, you'll see smaller contests, overall smaller buy-ins as well, but you won't see Doug in there putting in 150 GPP lineups, scooping up all your money and running off with it like the Monopoly man. So you go over to FantasyFactor.com, you can register using promo code DFSR25, and you can get a $5 free entry ticket into any contest of your choice. So that's no strings attached, just $5 entry ticket, fantasyfactor.com. Check them out.
Also, before we get to the hitters, just a reminder that last night we started doing a live stream on the site where I was on there taking questions from chatters. We have a chat room up there, so people were throwing in questions in the chat and also questions into just the YouTube chat. That was live up on the homepage. I'll do that again tonight starting right around 6 o'clock. So if you want to jump in there and ask questions and see my really pretty mug up on the screen in front of you while I talk to you with my, you know, office in the background, go check it out at dfsr.com. That'll be on the homepage starting at around 6 o'clock tonight. One of the things we'll be talking about is who to play on the bat side of the ball. So we mentioned a ton of pitchers, and those pitchers are going to chew up a lot of salary today, right? Like, so Kershaw, sure. Strasburg, and then really kind of no matter which way you go on DraftKings through the starting pitcher too, you're not really saving all that much on pitching tonight, which means we need to get some cheap bats. And there are some teams in some interesting spots today, though. I'm wondering your opinion on some of these teams. Like, well, let's start with the Braves and Cincinnati game to start, right? So Bronson Arroyo's pitching. The Braves are coming really damn cheap, but it's the Braves. Like, what do we do in situations where we have teams that just aren't particularly good facing bad pitchers?
Yeah, this is going to be a theme tonight, actually. You know, I was looking at the Angels against Kyle Gibson. It's a similar situation there. I think what you try to do is understand two things. First of all, you don't need five players from a team to make an effective stack, right? Like, you can get two players. You can get the best two players from a team, the ones that are the most appropriately priced, and kind of fill them in, right? Because so the Braves tonight are projected to score more than five runs in this game. That means that Vegas, the powers that be, see that somebody is going to score and cross home plate tonight. Now, maybe we just don't know. You know, the Braves are kind of uniformly bad, but the pitching opponent is just so bad. Like, Arroyo is just such a batting practice level pitcher that they're just like, well, somebody's going to score runs or like Arroyo's going to get chased early. I will say that for my general approach is to, and this is a boring way to say it, but just trust the math, right? Like, you're going to look at this game, you're going to see a guy like Matt Adams, and he's going to be 2,600 batting in the middle of that Braves lineup in a great platoon spot against Bronson Arroyo. He's a guy you can kind of just lock into your lineup and go from there. He's going to be absolute chalk. He's got great power upside. Arroyo gives up homers. Cincinnati's a great ballpark. You know, so you can kind of build it out from there. Maybe you look at some of these other guys like Markakis, who's a little bit more expensive and considerably worse, or at least the upside's not there with no power at all, and you can walk away. So, you know, you can also just go all in on a big stack for a big tournament, figuring that this might be the day Markakis hits his second homer of the season. But I would more recommend taking a more tempered approach, just taking like two, three guys that you think are the best and kind of plugging them in.
It'll be interesting to see what guy people do. I agree with you on Adams. I think he'll be very chalky as long as he's hitting fifth or even higher. But I'm guessing he hits fifth. It'll be interesting to see what people do with a guy like Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp's been like kind of awesome this year. He's got 1,000 OPS. He's 10 home runs. And he's got a 600 slugging, 380 on base percentage. Like, he's just back to being like
sure,
it's a super old season. Yeah, like old All Star Matt Kemp, sort of kind of out of nowhere after just really stinking the last two seasons. but he's also very expensive. Like the 10 home runs and just the fact that he's been really good this season have just boosted his price into the 3,800 range, which our system sees is just simply too expensive. But it'll be interesting to see what people, like, if you can talk yourself into a guy like him, or like what people think of, if this is like the resurgent Matt Kemp that's just like back to being really good again, then he probably is like a $3,800 player and you can probably consider him. Our system, I'm not sure, has caught up with that or believes that this is going to be the case for him going forward. Like, do you see his offensive outburst this year as sustainable or kind of just running hot? Like, he might just be running a little bit hot with home run, the fly ball.
Yeah, well, and BABIP, right? The 398 BABIP is an outlier as well. But yeah, I think that I don't think he's in the 1,000 OPS guy. Let's get that off the table right away. I think that you could see a potential return to like his 2014 form, where he was an 850 OPS guy, hit 25 homers that season with 8 steals, just like a solid fantasy contributor. He's always going to have the higher BABIP simply because of his kind of max effort approach and swing. Career BABIP of 342 lends itself to that, and last season's step back in the 297 BABIP looks to be more of the outlier than this year's number, I would say.
I overspoke. I said he stunk last year. That wasn't true. He had an 800 OPS with 35 home runs. So someone's going to say that he didn't stink last year. And that was I overstated sort of like what his numbers were last year. He was just good. He was good last year. So I take it back what I said about him. He's much better this year, but he wasn't bad last year.
Well, he was worse at actual baseball last year. There's no question about that. Like, the 304 on base percentage is really bad. Like, that's right. And 35 homers, that's helpful. But I mean, you could just look at his overall WAR, wins above replacement, as Fangraphs calculates them, at 0.7 means that the terrible job he did getting on base when he wasn't just hitting the ball over the fence means that he was a net negative on the team that he played for. So I think it's still fair to say that. But yeah, from a fantasy perspective, that's going to be different than his real-life baseball output.
And his on-base percentage gains this year is all BABIP. Like, his walk rate is still exactly the same. 5% walk rate this year, 5% walk rate last year.
His K rate's the same, too.
Like, right, the 80 points he's getting on the OBP is all from the BABIP. So when that comes back down to normal, you're just going to probably see him, like where you said, settled into like right around that 800 OBS range.
40 points back on BABIP, and he's got a 345 on base percentage, and again, he settles into that 2014 range. He's a serviceable fantasy player. I mean, and he was serviceable last year too, to your point. But yeah, he's a little bit expensive, but yeah, against Bronson Arroyo, why not, man? Like, the power upside is there. Arroyo takes strikeouts off the table, which always helps a guy like Matt Kemp. So yeah, that's a definitely not someone you want to omit if you're stacking this team for a big tournament.
And Inciarte is another guy who's just kind of gotten expensive, but still in a good spot, hitting at the top of that lineup. The other side, the Reds are in a good spot here too. They're actually projected for even more runs against. Oh man, I can never say this guy's Fultonowicz. I think is how you say it. Yeah, Mike Fultonowicz. Do you see the Reds as like kind of being in a similar spot? They're not coming as cheap as the Braves are, but they're projected to put up a ton of runs.
Yeah, I don't see them as nearly a similar spot to the Braves. Like, Fultonowicz is not a good pitcher, but he's nothing like Bronson Arroyo. Like, Bronson Arroyo is this otherworldly, next level bad mid fives xFIP guy whose ERA oftentimes trends higher than that somehow. So I think Fultonowicz, he's more just kind of like generically bad, classic low fours xFIP guy, doesn't strike out a lot of guys, not a great walk rate, low ground ball percentage. But yeah, all that to say, still a good spot for the Reds, especially their left-handed bats. You know, guys like Votto like are going to be in an excellent spot here. So in a night where you're going to have some more obvious stacks, aka the Braves against Bronson Arroyo, who will be taking the mound for the Reds, I think the Reds are pretty reasonable step in the other direction that actually probably has similar upside simply because their hitters are a little bit better.
Yeah, we have the Reds. I mean, Votto and Votto, we have as the highest raw point first baseman on the slate tonight. He's expensive, sure. So you're not really it's gonna be tough to fit him with a guy like Kershaw. We have Hamilton as the third overall outfielder today, mostly on the speed, and they're projected to put up a lot of runs. So I think the Reds, unfortunately though, aren't coming cheap like the Braves, and that's mostly because they just get to play half their games in this awesome ballpark that just kind of boosts their power, sure. And their offense isn't bad in general, right? They do have some guys that can hit. So you're not getting this kind of savings on the Reds that you are on the Braves, but they are projected at, for I believe, the most overall implied runs on the slate right now. They're a little bit of tick above the Red Sox. I mean, do you see the Red Sox too? Like, the Red Sox, again, this is another team that is typically pretty high on the implied run thing, but their guys are also expensive, and that's so hard on nights where you just have to roster one of these big pitchers.
Well, you do for cash games, but you don't for big tournaments. And I think that puts the Red Sox in a pretty good position tonight. Like, if you do go a little cheaper on pitching, I mean, Strasburg doesn't really get you home. But say you go Pineda or something like that, all of a sudden it really opens up the world for you to run out some of these Red Sox arms, or bats, rather. And it's an interesting spot. I mean, Alec Asher, he's could be as bad as Bronson Arroyo, which is something I won't throw around lightly. Last season, 4.2 K per nine last season, and it's, you're like, oh well, it's only 27 innings. Well, what about the 29 innings he pitched in AAA with just a sub 6 K per nine? Like, he just could be really, really, really bad, and he has been only pretty bad so far this season. But he did give up 6 runs in 2 innings his last time out, so the blowout potential is absolutely huge there. You know, with the Red Sox, sometimes I'd prefer to get a lefty against them, just because some of their power bats, especially their most high upside bats, the guys you really want, do have pretty dramatic platoon splits the other way. But yeah, I'll take a shot on the Red Sox, and I'm sure some GPP lineups tonight.
Right now, the way that our lineups are kind of shaking out is just sort of like a mix of one-offs, right? Like, it's not really drawing one team to the top. I mean, you might see a few more Braves pop in there on their price, just because they're just in such a good spot. But like, one-off guys, especially on FanDuel, I think you're going to see Gary Sanchez just being epic chalk again. That price just refuses to move on him. He's batting second. He hit 2 home runs last night. Not like that matters, but like, so it's just a combination of, he was already a good play. Like, we had him in all our FanDuel lineups last night. He was already a good play. A lot of people played him. He just confirmed everyone's bias, or confirmed everyone's good thought to play him. And then by hitting 2 home runs, price doesn't move. And now he gets Liriano in the same park, in the lefty-righty split with a team that's supposed to project to put up, like, you know, mid-fours to high-fours runs. I mean, he's just going to be, he's going to be like a 70 or 80% start, I suspect. Because he's like, catcher's already hard. Yeah. Already hard to fill out. And then you just have just kind of some random guys sprinkling in here or there. But this is, again, really still pretty early in the day. It's only 10 o'clock Eastern. These things change. Lineups change things around a lot. Any other teams we can take a look at before we jump out of here for the day?
Well, maybe not a full team, but I'm keying in on some of these Detroit right-handed bats. Derek Holland is going for the White Sox today, and he's been, I mean, just bad in his career against right-handed hitting, and bad again this season, allowing almost a 750 OPS just to any generic right-hander who steps up to the plate. So if you can get Miguel Cabrera in there, if you can get JD Martinez, you can start doing some real damage. And yeah, maybe you don't want to go up and down the whole lineup. Like, they're not projected to score the most runs on the slate or anything, but even like Castellanos, like, I think there's a lot of little things you can do to take advantage of that matchup, because Derek Holland is going to be a name people recognize, and I think people are going to be less on the Tigers than maybe they will some of these other teams. Like, certainly Derek Holland doesn't stir up the same feelings as a guy like Bronson Arroyo, but his results have actually been almost as bad from an XFIP perspective. So yeah, I think grabbing 2, maybe 3 of these right-handed bats on Detroit could be a good direction to go.
All right, awesome. Let's we'll get it going tonight for a full Friday in baseball. Once again, we're from DFSR.com, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. If you like typing out more letters, DFSR.com/MLB. We'll grab you that free 3-day trial to our projection system, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Like I said, 6 o'clock, I'll be live on the site answering questions in the chat room, talking about this, I think, a pretty nice-looking Friday in baseball, buddy. We'll talk to you again early next week. Enjoy your weekend, and let's get it tonight.
Yep, let's get it.